We are glad to present your speaker, Ray Weddington.
As we look at the Scriptures, we sometimes, sadly, neglect even the study of the Bible. We don't realize how important it is to study God's Word, to have God's will before us, and to know it is our responsibility, and it is our duty to study it and to live by it and place it into our hearts. And too many times, even if we do feel a need to study God's Word, as we reach for the Bible, we'll flip it over there in the New Testament to neglect the Old Testament. And there is so much richness and wisdom and knowledge contained in the Old Testament that we're shortchanging ourselves by not reading it. I especially love to turn to the Psalms, the Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and we can get so much knowledge and enrichment in our lives by reading these books. Study them. I encourage you to read them all, because we can gain so much. And for our own benefit, we can be brought closer to God by studying His Word. This morning, we're going to look at the 37th Psalm. The psalmist here, if we can picture him, he is of an older age. He has lived a life in service before God. Indeed, the Scripture tells us that he is a man after God's own heart. And as he's looking at the world before him and what he sees the righteous in the midst of a wicked world. And how does the righteous live in the midst of a wicked world? We gain the knowledge and assurance from this psalm, the key thought, God takes care of his own. And the psalmist David, as he's writing these words, he begins in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. This word, fret not thyself, means to literally, as it's taken from the Hebrew word, it's like a fire that's been ignited and the flame and the heat coming off of it. That is, don't be irritated, don't be angry, don't worry about what you're seeing out here in the world. You're seeing the wicked. You're seeing these evildoers. And you're seeing them at this moment in time, as you're looking at them, you're seeing them being very prosperous. You're seeing them having a lot of this world. And you may be doing without this at this time. You may not have what they have. And true emotions might take care of you at that time. You might be envious of them and say, "Boy, I wish I had what they had." Or at the other time, you may grow angry and irritated. And you may worry about this, say, "Why is this happening?" David says, don't fret. Don't worry. Don't get irritated. Don't get excited. Don't be envious of this. Why? Verse 2 says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." I know at times, especially like the rainy summer we've had here, if you don't keep on top of that lawn, that grass will shoot on up there and it'll be waving to you in the land. But when I get out there, me and my good friend John Deere, we can conquer that grass. We mow right over it, and then it's not there anymore. God said the wicked are like this. They may have their time. They may have their time of growth. They may prosper for a while, but then it's cut down. They're cut down. They're like the green herb, the green tree that comes up and is full of bloom and blossom and green, and it's time. But then his time comes to an end and it withers. So likewise the wicked. So don't get upset. Don't worry. Don't get excited about it. Certainly don't be envious about them. But what do we need to do? Verse 3 tells us to trust in the Lord and to do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and do good. As you see what is going on in the world, as you see the wicked that may be prospering, as you maybe think that you're the only one who's trying to do right and you're trying to live right, and what advantage is this getting me? Have faith. Put your faith in the Lord. Trust in Him. Do good. And we have the assurance then that thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. the Lord will provide for you. You'll be taken care of. You won't be in want or need. Verse 4 tells us, to delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's a unique expression. There's things that we take delight in upon this earth. There may be some food which we actually really enjoy and just slobber all over. And we just say, boy, I take delight in eating that. Or it may be this new car that we take delight in. Or we think some earthly thing that we have a delight in. But is our delight in the Lord? Do we delight in serving Him? Do we delight in reading His Word and living it? Do we derive great pleasure from it? We need to. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. We have the assurance. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Not saying that He's going to give you everything. He's not going to give you the rich bank account. That's not promised. Not the big car, not the fine home. But what you need, what you have to have, the Lord will provide. Those that live for Him, those that serve Him day in and day out, we have God's assurance. The Lord will provide for you if you place your trust in Him. If you trust Him and His Word, if you live for Him, if you delight in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Again, words of encouragement, carrying on the same thought. Commit thy way unto the Lord. We commit ourselves in this life to different things. We sign that note, we commit ourselves in the mortgage payments. We commit ourselves in the car payments, or paying for this thing or that thing. But we're saying here, commit yourself unto the Lord. Spiritually, sign on that your life and your heart will be committed and serving after Jehovah God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. Again, that word trust. And He shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? Back up to verse 4. The desires of thine heart. He will provide for you, for His children. Verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. If you commit yourself unto Him, if you delight in the Lord, if you do His will, if you do not fret about the evildoers in the world or what is going on, and don't get overwrought, and don't get worrying, and don't get irritated about it, He shall bring forth thy righteousness. The righteousness, the justice, the judgment of a good follower of Christ and Jehovah God. It shall be as a light in the world. It shall be as the sun is noonday, how bright it is. And it's unique. How often do we see and we look at, as we look over the world, what do we see? We see the wickedness of mankind. We see the hatefulness, the bitterness that we encounter, and that's televised throughout the world. But isn't it unique when you see a righteous, goodly man? Doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it give you hope that yes, there are some striving to carry on, to endure, and to do the right thing? It shall shine like that sunshine at noonday. It shall bring forth the light, the righteous. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Beautiful terms. Rest in the Lord. Take rest. Take nourishment in Him. Wait patiently for Him. We want things to happen. We want more things to happen now. We live in an instant society. We expect instant gratification, and we expect God to operate on our terms. That's not going to happen. Take your time. Bid your time. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Again, these words, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Wait upon the Lord. Things will happen in His time. Maybe it's not fast enough for us. Just wait. Rest in the Lord. Don't fret yourself. Don't get upset over him who's prospering out here, over this wicked man. The Lord's going to take care of him. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself of any wise to do evil. Again, don't get angry. Don't get mad. Don't get torn up with bitterness and wrath over this. Don't be inclined to do evil because of what you see. Don't let the evil cause you to do evil. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. God will take care of it. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. They have the assurance God will do it at His own time. The evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, who have the patience, who will rest upon Him, who will commit themselves unto Him, they shall inherit the earth. We have that assurance. There is an inheritance awaiting for us. Not necessarily that we're going to stride across this earth and be kings of the earth, no. But we have an inheritance that God has promised unto the faithful. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Just a little while, in God's own terms, maybe not a little while in our terms, well, a little while is about 10 minutes, isn't it? No. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. In God's own terms, in God's own time, it shall come to pass. And thou shalt diligently consider his place, where he was, why he was up there. He had it all. He had position, he had power, and he's not there. There's nothing left of him anymore. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There will come a time, God will take care of the wicked, but those that try to live right, to serve him, to rest to him, who wait on him, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What was once a provocation to us, what once caused us to get angry and fret, it won't be there anymore. God will remove that from us. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the judge, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Sometimes it seems like the wicked is that way. They have the power. They have all the money. They have all the position. They have the power. And it seems like they can get anything done, and they can walk over anybody that they want to. Even to the fact that a good man out there is torn down by him. Even seemingly, as the illustration is drawing here, gnaweth upon him with his teeth, as the wicked would do. And that the wicked would wear down the righteous or eat down the righteous. But verse 13 says, and this is a beautiful picture, as we see the wicked here trying to prevail against the righteous, verse 13 says, the Lord shall laugh at him. The Lord's going to laugh at this wicked man trying to do this. For he seeth that his day is coming. As the Lord views things, not as we view it just today, but the Lord, as he sees the whole picture, he sees the wicked man prospering and he thinks he's got it made. The wicked man has, he can do anything he wants to. And if this righteous man is in his way, well, he's going to cut him down. The Lord said, no, that's not going to pass. The Lord laughs at what the wicked man is trying to do here because he sees beyond and he sees what's going to happen. That he's going to have his day. The Lord's going to take care of him. His day is coming. The day of retribution. Verse 14, the picture is drawn that the wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent their bow. Two warlike pictures. We can see the wicked trying to prevail over the just as they draw out their swords for battle. As they take their bow and arrow and they draw them back. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent the bow to cast down the poor and needy. To say such, to be upright in conversation, that is our way of life. Those that are upright in the way of life. The wicked want to cast them down, to shoot them, to cut them asunder with a sword. It's not going to happen. Verse 15 says, the sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. As you read this, I picture the cartoon we've all seen since we were young. The Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. You know, Wile E. Coyote always had these great schemes and devices, how he was going to capture the Roadrunner. And he would always buy these good things and set up these huge armaments. But he got caught in his own trap every time. That's like the wicked. They would devise great schemes and how they're going to persevere and endure and take over. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. The Lord will persevere. The Lord will conquer. He will take care of his own. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Sometimes we do not believe that, but it's true. We're so discontent in this life. We're bombarded with advertisements that we need this and we need that and we need to buy this, and old greed kicks in and we want more and more. but at the sacrifice of ourselves. If we have to give of ourselves and our soul and lose our inheritance with God, is it really worth it? A little that a righteous man has, this just and honest man, it is far better than the riches of many wicked. Because these riches of the wicked, the Lord is always showing here that that's not going to last. What was once, it will be sold and it will not be there anymore. Those riches will not endure. But what all the righteous man has, his faith in Jehovah God, his courage, his endurance, his perseverance, his resting in the Lord and waiting on Him, that can't be taken away. That will endure forever. And that is far better than the riches of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Now this term literally means to prop up or to take hold of. And that's a beautiful illustration of how God takes care of the Christian. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. He props him up. Here, we're going to need help sometimes. We can't make it alone. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He props us up. He takes hold of us by His hand. And He helps us along. The arms of the wicked shall be broken. No, He's not helping them. But He's there for us to prop us up, to hold us up, and to help us through. The Lord knoweth the ways of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The Lord knows the heart of all mankind, especially the upright. Those that's trying to live a decent, orderly, righteous life, their inheritance shall be forever. It cannot be taken away. The riches of the wicked, it can go at any day. The inheritance of the righteous is forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. They shall not be humiliated. There shall not be any embarrassment. This word means exactly public disgrace in the evil time. When times are bad, there won't be that humiliation, that embarrassment, that public disgrace like the wicked's going to have. Because they've served the Lord. They won't have to endure that. And in times of want or need, the Lord will provide. They will be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume in the smoke, shall they consume away. Again, the wicked shall perish. Those that are enemies of the Lord, those who tried to overthrow Him, those who tried to take down His children, they shall be consumed. As the fat of lambs, as the sacrifice under the Mosaic law was put on the altar and the heat came up and it burned it up, so shall be the wicked. As the fat of the lambs was consumed and burned away and went up as smoke, so shall be the wicked. What once was, there in their possessions that they put so much faith and trust in, it shall be no more. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The two are drawn as opposite characteristics. The wicked, well, he can borrow money and he doesn't worry about paying again. His word don't mean anything to him. If he promised you he'll pay, well, he may or he may not. He don't care. But the righteous, he showeth mercy and giveth. He may not have much money. He may not have much of this world's goods, but if he sees a brother or sister or someone in need or want, his heart is turned with compassion and he wants to fulfill that need. He shows mercy. He tries to provide. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Again, the blessing bestowed upon those who would serve God, the inheritance promised unto them. But those that do the opposite, those that go and rail against God, the wicked, the enemies of the Lord, they shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, literally meaning direct our path. The steps of a good man. We allow the Lord to direct our paths as we go throughout this life. And He directs them by reading His Word. That's the first step. And then we stay on that path in serving God. The steps of a good man. allowed the Lord to direct him, or ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he should fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In times of difficulty or adversity, it's going to come upon us. The Lord has never promised that we will not have hard times. We will have. We all know that from experience. We all experience pain, heartache, suffering, tragedy in this earth and while we live upon this earth. But the Lord says, though we fall, though we allow it to knock us down from time to time, and life can bring some hard blows to us, we're not going to be cast down. It's not going to get us down. Why? He tells us the Lord upholdeth him with his hand, with the power and the strength of the Lord. Again, the illustration given. We're walking, and the troubles and the strife of life just knock us down. The Lord just reaches down, picks us back up, walks with us, indeed maybe even carries us. The righteous man, the good man, the Lord is going to help him and be there for him, to provide for him. And David in verse 25 gives us this beautiful verse which we've all read many a times. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Many have testified the truth of that saying. David, as he lived his life there in Palestine, throughout Israel, as he saw it all, he had been young and now he was old, and he had not seen the righteous forsaken. God will not turn his back upon the righteous. They will have hard times, there will be difficulties, but they will not be forsaken. His seed, his children, will not be begging for bread. They will be provided by. The Lord will see to it. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The righteous man is merciful. He lends, and his seed, his children, is blessed. So, because of this, depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil. Do what is good and right and decent and holy and just, and dwell forevermore, forevermore in the will and the law of Jehovah God. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. His children literally are kept guard over. They're watched over. They're protected, as this Hebrew word means. They are preserved forever. Again, that beautiful assurance that God is there to watch over us, to keep guard over us, to protect us, to help us, to uphold us. So don't be drawn off by the wicked. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Don't let that get you down. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever, promising this from Jehovah God. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The righteous, the good, the decent, the holy man, he speaks what is right. He speaks what is good. And he speaketh wisdom, the correct way that one should live in service of the God. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of God is in his heart. It's first placed in our hearts by reading God's Word, knowing God's Word. Only then can it abide in our heart where it can influence our mind and our steps each day that we live. And those steps shall not slide. They will remain on the path that leadeth unto God. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Now the wicked is watching the righteous man. This righteous man is trying to do right. And the wicked's looking after him and thinking, how can I cut him down? Because the devil is working with the righteous. And they do not like to see, the devil is working with the wicked, that is. And they do not like to see the righteous being brought up to shine as we looked at here earlier. So the wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. But the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. The Lord will not leave him, literally will not forsake him, will not abandon him, nor will he condemn him when he is judged. The Lord will be there for the righteous. Again, David is giving these assurances, verse after verse. The Lord will be there for the righteous. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait upon the Lord. That is, to be confident in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, enduring in his promises, and keep his way. That literally means paying careful attention to laws and to obligations. So be confident and trust in the Lord. Pay attention to the laws and the obligations that Jehovah has given unto us, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. The inheritance will be yours. When the wicked is cut off, thou shalt see it. That wicked who once prospered, who once was maybe trying to torture you, or trying to take advantage of what all he had, he will be cut off, but you will inherit the promises of God. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Now David's saying, now the wicked can possess great power, literally great strength the wicked may have. And he should be, like this illustration, like a great green bay tree. That is, a green tree that groweth in its own native soil. A tree that's indigenous to its area. It's got all the vitamins, the nutrients, and everything, and that tree is growing strong and big. The wicked can be like that. They can have power. They can have strength. They can take up space. David said he's seen this. Verse 36, yet he passes the way, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. This huge tree, this huge body of wickedness that was once there, it's gone now. And where it was once, it is not there anymore. The wicked shall pass away. Verse 37, mark the perfect man, that is, the complete, the whole, the upright man. Mark him. Observe him. Look at him. And behold upright, for the end of that man is peace. Look at those people who try to do righteous and live right and do what is right. Look upon him, mark him, observe him. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. The contrast between the two, the perfect and the upright, granting the promises of God and the promises of condemnation going upon the wicked. But the salvation of the righteous is in the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The salvation, the help, literally strength, the welfare of the righteous, it can only be found in the Lord. Where the wicked look to gold and silver and power and wealth and fame, the righteous find their strength, their salvation, their endurance, their welfare, their help is found in Jehovah God. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And he ends by saying, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Literally means to deliver them, to carry away safe, to cause to escape. The Lord will be there. He will provide that way. He will nurture you and carry you away and escape you from what is troubling you. He will be there for you. And he will save them. That is to deliver and help and preserve them. Because they trust in him. We see the two different contrasts. The wicked trusting in what this earth provides. The righteous, the good, the decent, and the upright man. Trusting in Jehovah God and his word. In times of adversity or trial, will the riches uphold you? Will they prop you up? Will they hold you up? No, you'll trip over them and fall. But when we really need strength and help, God will be there. God will be there for us. David, as you see it all, as you're an old man now, as you write this, as you've seen the righteous dwelling among the wicked upon this earth, rest and have assurance. Wait upon the Lord, rest in him. Let the Lord operate in his time. The righteous shall be taken care of and all the promises and the inheritance given unto them. And the wicked shall be cut down where they will be no more. That assurance was written many, many years ago. But it concerns the same God that we serve today. The promises are just as valid and good and faithful. And if we live our life the way God wants us to live, we will inherit those same promises, those same blessings. And that same God will ever be there for us day in and day out. We have that assurance. We have that promise. God will be there for us. But we first have to act and dedicate ourselves to Jehovah God.